Welcome to Business Success Radio. My name is Anthony Turner, and I'm going to be your host as we chat to everyday small business people about their journeys, their challenges, and hopefully gain some tips about how we can all make our businesses better. Today, my guest is Rachel Allam from Flair B&B in regional Victoria. And what I love about this story is that Flair B&B was actually set up during COVID and is growing through COVID. And it's all about short-term rental properties. Rachel Allam, welcome to Business Success Radio.
Thank you, Anthony. Great to be here.
Yeah, good to have you on board. Tell us more about Flair B&B and how all this came about.
So Flair B&B is a short-term property management business. I'm in partnership with my best friend of 30-odd years together. And she was looking for a new way to make some money. So she's a trained journalist and editor and also teacher, and she was looking for something else. And she had been Airbnb-ing her converted garage out and doing quite well on it. And a friend of hers said to her, why don't you take that Airbnb experience and share it with others and help others? And she'd done her back and she was lying, getting it fixed, and came up with the idea of actually looking after other people's houses. So she called me and said, I've got this idea, I need a website built. And I said, well, tell me your idea. And she told me what it was. And I said, I'll build you a website, but I want partnership in the business. I said, I think this one's really got legs, this idea. And that was in December 2019. And of course, we didn't know what was coming at us quickly.
It's sort of like 2 to 3 months later.
Exactly. Yeah. So we signed a couple of properties in Torquay. She's based in Torquay. So we thought we'd start there. And we signed a couple of properties, and then it just continued to grow. And we went through lockdowns, and we were able to put people into the properties on a medium-term basis. We signed more properties, and we kept signing, not obviously as quickly as what we expected. But, you know, fast forward to now in August 2021, and we've got almost 20 properties signed in Lawn, Torquay, Ocean Grove, Bellarine, Geelong, Melbourne, Ballarat and Ararat as well.
Fabulous. Well, what a great story. I guess lockdown in a way has both been a nemesis and a friend for you.
It has. Look, I think we grew really quickly, and we had we had these grand plans of, you know, we would look after our own linen and we'd clean linen for people. And so Eve spent a lot of her time running around to laundromats and sorting out sheets. But as we got more and more houses, that became absolutely impossible to do. Mm-hmm. So it seemed that lockdowns kind of came at us at a time where guests would stop, which meant the money would stop, but it enabled us to go back and look at systems in the business.
Okay.
And actually go, okay, well, we want to scale this business. We want 200 properties. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we can't be running around cleaning sheets, and we can't be, you know, there's things that we can't do. You know, she can't be going to 30 houses and cleaning them or anything like that. So it was, what are the systems that we need in the business to actually drive this forward?
Okay. So what were some of the sorts of things, you know, without taking away, you know, your secrets and everything else, but what were some of the sort of systems that you put in place to enable you to manage those sorts of, you know, critical elements in accommodation?
Financial systems. So we track where we're spending money, basically, you know, hello, zero. We have linen management, so we can track where linen is and how much it's costing us, basically, in each house. Mm-hmm. Even systems of onboarding properties and managing guests and what happens if something goes wrong and, you know, what happens if there's a party or whatever. You know, so just sort of we were able to, the business still grew, but there was kind of these long stretches of quiet times that we were able to go, all right, what's our pain point and how can we fix it?
Yeah, excellent. And I guess this is something that, you know, many other business owners could learn as well, because, you know, there are always peaks and troughs in our business, even if we're not talking about, you know, COVID times and, you know, mm-hmm. And I think you know, reality is COVID's going to be around forever and a day. And, you know, I don't mean that in a negative sense. I think it's going to be like the flu. We're going to have to learn to live with it in some different ways and stuff. So bearing that in mind, there's always going to be different things that are going to get in the way of day-to-day business. And, you know, and there will be peaks and troughs of, you know, your busy times and your not so busy times, that sort of stuff. So I guess, you know, the opportunity to really take a look back at your business and review it on the basis of, well, what can we do easier, more cost effectively, or whatever, is probably a powerful thing to have.
Look, it is. And I'm a huge believer. This is my second business, and I wish I'd learned more about systems and processes and everything earlier on in my other business, because it probably would be very different. So I knew that for us to grow this business, we had to have the foundation right. And that foundation is in the systems and the processes within your business. And if we didn't have that, it wasn't like we can't scale it. It's just not scalable if we're running around schlepping, doing stuff all the time. So, yeah, it had to, and I think that's what we learned, in that we would have this rush where we'd be onboarding properties, we'd also be open for business. And from about November last year through until February, March this year, we were nonstop. We were onboarding properties. We had guests coming and going all the time. So that gave us a taste of the busy times and what could happen.
I guess one of the things is that, you know, COVID has done is forced a lot of us to seek local opportunities for trips away and holidays and things like that. And I guess that provides a lot of opportunities for people who may have properties who would like to be able to, you know, take advantage of that marketplace.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Airbnb, that's what Airbnb is for, really. Yeah, yeah. And our biggest market comes from either people who, like we've got FIFO workers that fly in, fly out, and they're gone for 10 weeks at a time. So we look after their property while they're gone. We've got others who have relocated for work, but their property's still here and they don't want to sell. We've got others who got holiday homes. You know, there could be second or third generation holiday homes on the coast, and we're looking after the properties and making money when they're not holidaying there. So there's so much income generation possibilities when we've got people traveling. Which we do, sadly we don't at the moment. But at the same time, we've found that we've been able to tap into workers. So we've got all the houses that are full at the moment are all full of workers, and they're staying for, you know, weeks at a time.
That's interesting, because it's often not a market that people in the tourism industry actually think about, and that is those people who, you know, at times like, you know, I use COVID because that's the most topical thing that's going around at the moment, but, you know, there are people moving around, they are required to do work in different places, and these provide some unique opportunities where everybody's typically looking for the peak times and the tourist dollar.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
Rachel, I mean, I know also that, you know, because of we've known each other for a while now, that you've got other areas of expertise, which is in the marketing side. I guess that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, you're in this partnership, is the marketing side. Maybe you can give some tips to us about, you know, for tourist type businesses, about, you know, how they can clearly market the sort of businesses that they've, you know, that they're dealing with, to attract people, as you've been doing.
I think they need to, you need to understand your region that you're in. So we've got properties in very different regions. You know, Melbourne's Melbourne. Geelong is different even to the Surf Coast, which is different to Ballarat, which is different to Ararat. So understanding the region that you're in and why people travel to and from those places is really important, because that will open up new markets and tap into, you know, potential people we didn't know of. Like for Ararat, it's, you know, workers are definitely our, one of our big key markets there. Just because of where it's located and the industry that's in town and the lack of accommodation, basically. So understand your town, you, where you're at, and then go and be in front of your customers. Like Airbnb is obviously the most popular booking management system, but you know, we get we've got some of our properties on HomeAway and Stays, which is all owned by VRBO now. So we get some bookings through there. There's Ripper Ride. So there's lots of booking platforms. We also have some of our properties listed with the Australian Tourism Data Warehouse, which gives us access across a lot of different networks and into the local tourism association and the state tourism group as well. So understanding your property, what's unique about it, your area that you are, and then go and be in front of your market. It's like a product or service, anything that you have. You know, understand what it is you're selling and then go and be in front of your customer.
So how, you know, in terms of a business like yours, you've got a number of different types of customers. So you've got your tourist market, you've got your worker market, you've got different locations and different needs and things like that. You know, for small businesses who might have multitude of markets and everything else, how do you create sort of marketing material that enables you to talk to those individuals, but it's in a collective space?
Yeah, look, that's always a hard one for any business, I think, and to try and get your head around it. We have we've got a website as well as all the other listings and everything, and the wording that we use inside of our listings, and that's where it gets really specific. So it could be, you know, our Geelong listings, for example, we'll have, you know, close to the hospital, close to here, so people know that it's, you know, if they've got people who are working at the hospital, it's close, you know, they can walk there or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I understand. So it's in the messaging, basically, and that, I think that's with any business. It's in your messaging and the imagery you use and everything.
Yeah, cool. So, Rachel, think about, you know, the your particular business and the Airbnbs and stuff. And think, what do you see as some of the real challenges for tourism? I know occupancy and staffing and things like that are the ones that are all in the media. But, you know, from your inside perspective, rather than the outside looking at it perspective, mm-hmm. you know, what do you find are the main challenges, and how do you overcome those?
I think in the Airbnb space, like talk about self-contained accommodation or whatever, it's quality. There is some awesome Airbnb operators and some, you know, and they present really well and they're clean and they give everything. There's also some cowboys in there, as there is in every industry. So there's a range of different standards, basically. And people who go to different Airbnbs, you know, they walk into a place and suddenly, you know, the owners are walking out the back door as they're coming in the front door, and they didn't realise it was such a shared accommodation like that. Or, you know, it's just not up to standard. So when we set up the business, we decided that we were going to go for a 5-star standard within our own business, and that went from everything through, you know, the linen choices that we use, to what we provide for guests, through to our clean, you know, our cleaners are our backbone of our business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we pay them well, we treat them well, and they do well by us as well. So for me, it's that we want to be different, because we want to make sure that if anybody's staying in any of our properties, that same basic standard is there. And I think that's lacking in some Airbnb properties.
Yeah. And how do you sort of maintain that in terms of the people who own the properties? Because, and particularly where those properties, you know, you were talking about, they may be holiday homes where they're using and et cetera, backwards and forwards and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Look, we've had owners who have come and stayed and then they leave and they go, oh, we left it clean. It's perfect. It's ready for the guest. And we walk in and go, yeah, no. it's not ready for a guest. So we allow owners to use it, but they pay a cleaning fee, which we then that they get charged, and we go in and clean after them as we would any guest. Mm-hmm. So we treat them just as another guest, and we go and clean and restock and everything after they're gone.
Would staffing be an issue depending on where the properties are?
Good cleaners are an issue, because there's cleaners are a dime a dozen, right? There's a lot of cleaners.
Yep.
But a domestic clean is very different to a short-term Airbnb accommodation stay clean as well. So to find cleaners who have the attention to detail, who can make beds, who can, you know, check the tea bags are full, and work within our systems, that is one of the challenges that we've found. In saying that, we have awesome teams of cleaners at the moment. touch wood.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look, I guess that's one of the things. So, you know, if you've got good staff, then you look after them. You know, you look after them, they look after you, and it becomes a real, you know, win-win bond for everybody.
Yeah. And look, the other thing that happened with this particular business is in February, we got approached by Hometime, which is Australia's largest property management company, to go into partnership with them. So we spent many months negotiating and talking to them because it's a big step for us and for them, basically. And what they bring to us is they do all our marketing now. They drive property owners into us to sign new properties. They're driving guests in as they build their website. They've got amazing software that's helped with all of the systems. So we run all our task management through there. A lot of our financials and owner statements and stuff all go through there too. So they actually filled a gap. And when you talk about resourcing, like obviously they're our marketing team that's out there working for us.
Yep.
And then we have a VA as well that helps. So, you know, resourcing this business, it's not just Eve and I. There's a lot of people that are involved in actually driving the success of it.
Just, you know, based on your background experience and of your previous business, and you had made some commentary about comparing the systems and processes, you know, from one to the other, and also from your work in, you know, working with clients as well. Lots of businesses I see don't really tend to reach out to get those sort of support systems and things. You know, has that been your experience? And, you know, what are some of the ways in which you would suggest they might reach out?
Do you know, I think every business needs to have a mentor or a coach or something, a mastermind or whatever it is, but you need someone on your team to be there to keep you accountable and to give you these ideas and keep things fresh. So that's my first thing. The other one is that I see a lot of burnt out business owners where they're absolutely exhausted because they're running around doing their thing. You know, it's a bit like what I was saying with Flairbnb. We could easily be running around cleaning, making beds, washing linen, saving money in that way. However, it's not, we would just burn ourselves out and the business won't grow. So business owners need to step back from their business and they need to delegate some of those day-to-day tasks.
It's what I call busyness with a Y rather than business with an I.
Absolutely, because you're just being busy. You know, when people say to you, how you go, oh, I'm so busy. So what are you doing being busy?
Yeah.
So, I see a lot of business owners that go into overwhelm because they can't see the light, basically. You know, they're paddling away and you're going, you need to step out of business. I can't step out of my business. Who's going to do this? Well, you're going to get someone else to do that. Like, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
So I think getting help on the big picture part of your business and getting support as well as bringing in the workers to do the work.
Yeah. No, very, very good ideas, I think. And certainly from my own experience, you know, my listeners know that I've been a mentor and a coach for many years. And yes, what I advocated, many, many other business owners that I've spoken to also advocated, you know, get help. You can't do it all yourself.
No, you can't. And you're not skilled to do it either. You know, the number of business owners that I talk to who are brilliant plumbers or brilliant car wreckers or they're brilliant card makers or the artists or whatever, you know, they're brilliant at their thing, but they can't run a business to save themselves and they don't ask for the help and then the business falls over.
Yeah, and then they get really disillusioned with the thing that they're really good at.
Yeah,
which is sad. So, Rachel, just in wrapping up, because I recognise, you know, we're coming up to time, is that, you know, I'm just wondering from your vast experience, you know, if you had sort of two or three key tips for a business owner, you know, based on your experiences, and I mean for the hospitality industry specifically, what would they be?
I think with hospitality, you know, we're there for visitors coming in and we've got to provide really great experiences for the visitors, and I think there's a lot of hospitality owners that could get caught up in the, I've got to make the bed, I've got to have this, whatever, but make sure that, you know, that the experience for the guests is really good. And it's not just about your property. It's about the region and the area that they're coming into. And get help. Like I see so many B&B operators and they're running around and they're cleaning and whatever, there's cleaners for a reason. So get cleaners in so that you can focus on doing other things in your business.
I guess one of the other things that I've noticed, you know, with the better organisations that I've stayed with at different times, is that they often got partnerships with other things to make the stay a lot more attractive and more about the area that they're in and the things that they can do rather than just the property itself.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at some really cool initiatives, you know, things like star tours, so people can stand out in the balcony and look at stars and they'll be guided on a, you know, what's in the sky sort of thing. We're looking at games where people can get involved in the local, like particularly the houses that we've got that are in small villages or small towns. We've also got the benefit where we can cross promote stays to our other houses as well.
Rachel, thanks for sharing your ideas and tips on Business Success Radio today.
Thanks, Anthony. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Success Radio podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, simply check Biz Success Radio on your current podcast player or visit us on our website, businesssuccessradio.com.au.